For WNCW, I'm Joe Kendrick. Very glad to be talking with Ellen Furman today. You remember her from being on these airwaves in years past. She is a location manager for HBO. She's worked on films like The Hunger Games, Jupiter Ascending, also TV shows like Homeland and Veep. Welcome to the show, Ellen.
Thanks. It's good to be back on WNCW. It's been I don't even know how long it's been, but it's been a while.
Well, we're very glad to talk to you today about film in the region. I thought I would get you to bring everybody up to speed with what that means. I guess you drive around and find out where all of the GPS is wrong.
Well, I do a lot of that. I get rental cars a lot. I'm in Charleston right now working on a new show for HBO, and I got a Ford Explorer SUV with 12,000 miles on it, and I've only had it maybe 3 weeks, and it's got over 20. So I do a lot of driving and looking and poking around, but that's one of the beauties of what I do. I get to experience places I don't get to be the tourist. I get to really experience places. It's nice.
You also have experience with a series called Studio South, and going back to the year around 2007, you put together this with the Echo Mountain Studios and Aaron Price on artists like Malcolm Holcomb, Kellen Watson, Tyler Ramsey, Stephanie Zid, doing interviews and then performances in Echo Mountain. Tell us about that.
Well, that was a brainchild of 4 years ago that I care to admit. But Steve up at Echo Mountain was very gracious. Jessica was very instrumental in that. And then Margaret, who passed away several years ago. We just kind of wanted to do local music, just kind of figure out how can you present local music. And we did that back in 2007, and the technology was just coming into its forefront. You know, I haven't worked on a show that's actually shot film in a while, but this was when you were still shooting on what they call P2 cards and some of these non-film cameras, and the whole process of getting the footage out of the camera and into a computer, it was very cumbersome, and these cards you could only shoot for like 5 to 7 minutes, you know, at a time before the card was full, and then you'd have to dump it down into a hard drive, and it was laborious. And we were also using like free cameras and, you know, trying to get that feel, that backstage feel. And it was fun. It was great. And I think we had a really good time doing it. And I think the show had a really good look to it. The technology just wasn't there for us to be quick on our feet just yet. It got really hard, but it was really fun.
You took that to South by Southwest, am I correct?
Yes, we did. We took I believe it was the Stephanie Zid show that we did at South by Southwest. And that was an experience. I mean, that was great. Joe, as you know, doing this stuff for musicians, there's a lot of competition out there. So you take something that really can stand out in a crowd, like in Asheville, with a great band, you go to South by Southwest and it's just exponentially larger. There's just that many more great bands, that many more, you know, people wanting to tell their stories. I think what we took away from that is, what do you have to do to make it memorable, and what is the mission for it? You know, and I would love to hear what your mission is for Southern Songs and Stories.
Yeah, so I've started up a documentary series of performances and interviews in half-hour episodes aimed at revealing who these artists are and who the bands are, as well as putting them in the context of their community and the overall arc of Southern music, whatever that is. That's sort of what we're driving at, discovering and unveiling on this.
I'm just fascinated by it because there's so much that you can talk to a musician about. You know, it's like you're talking about the songwriting and you're talking about, you know, how they write their music. But what part of it do you think that people are the most interested in?
To me, I think it's the most compelling when you see them as people and you can realize kind of what makes them tick, what motivates them, and to be drawn into their story.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. Watching your shows, I watched the one with Aaron Burdett a while ago, and just going back through the one with the Honeycutters, and you're choosing to play songs almost in their entirety.
Right. There was a lot of searching and casting about as to how we wanted to produce this and what style we wanted to produce it. The shorter bits of songs would be more easily digestible. A lot of the times you will lose just the hook right at the time when you're starting to get into it, you'll fade out and go into some more dialogue or backstory. And so we felt that it would be more compelling to have larger chunks of songs and to let both the fans and the audience that's just getting into it to chew on it for a little bit longer and be able to enjoy it for a little bit longer.
I think that's a really valid choice. And it's one that I think is it's actually quite brave to make because of what you're saying. It's like where, you know, I think that we're so used to watching things in soundbite. It's like, give me that one piece of relevant information and then I'm going to move on. But what you're doing is challenging the viewer to stay there and experience not only like the background, but that music, which is what is drawing you to do these particular artists. Have you guys thought about doing anything with like Netflix and just presenting your stuff, you know, as an online kind of distribution?
Yes, I would love to do that, except I really don't have the in, to be honest. I've sent off a couple of general inquiries to Vivo, Hulu, whatnot. Just quite frankly, I have not heard back from any of them.
It's tough. This is one of those businesses that you have to be, it's all about who you know, unfortunately. And you have to be sometimes in the right place at the right time. You know, we were filming in North Charleston in a trailer park there. And one of our characters lives in this trailer park. But the residents there, a lot of them ended up being in the show. But a couple of these guys were rappers. And they had made their own CD. So a couple of the producers got a hold of it and they like it. So they might just put one of the, they might put one of the songs in to the show, which I think is just brilliant. But that's just a case of being in the right place at the right time.
I'm going to follow around your production company. I've got the answer.
You could do that.
We'll get a flatbed truck. We'll put the band on the truck and we'll park out within earshot.
There you go. And then we'll be paying you money to be quiet. We need the silence. I'm very excited about Southern Songs and Stories because I think that in the intervening years since I was trying to do the music stuff, so much has changed. And I think in your favor and in the way to get this product out and to talk about the music and to get these bands known, I think you're onto something with Southern Songs and Stories. And so I wish you the best of luck.
Well, thank you so much for being with us on WNCW today. We're talking with Ellen Furman, location manager for HBO, former WNCW host.
Thanks, Joe. It's been a pleasure.